Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hi, group.
Hi, Brandon.
It's 11:43 as we start on our journey together tonight.
Yes.
And there's still some games going on. The Apple Cup is outstanding. But I'm just going to tell y'all, I don't know how I haven't timed all of these reaction podcasts. I have 8 takes on the Ohio State-Michigan game. So.
Yeah, I have a bunch of takes too. And my main take that I had, it's not my main take, but it is a take I'd like to get out there right now. I was telling Katie and Noah before you got on, I said, you know, Brandon in the group text is mighty happy. That's fine. He has a lot to be happy about, but this Michigan-Ohio State conversation is going to be a good time.
I had a good night on the Twitter. I had a good night. You know, there was I've had fun. This has been a good weekend. Mississippi State, Texas A&M, we got a lot to talk about.
You missing one there?
UConn, did they win?
No, about having a good day on Twitter.
I have an announcement coming on Tuesday.
What? Huh? That's not what she's talking about. She's talking about Lane Kiffin
and Hugh Freeze.
What am I? I'm not missing nothing. Nothing's been announced.
All right. You know what? Let's just start the podcast. We'll get into it.
Hold on. Y'all trying to dunk on me right off the top?
No,
Casey. She knows. She's a big girl. She knows what she said. You trying to dunk on me right off the top?
I was too.
You were skipping over. You had a great day. I was like,
we have a whole podcast to come up. First of all,
I want to get one thing in. Now, this is something that Katie's been told to do, and it's not something from me. It's more from Gaz. And this is another thing that, and it's not directly about you, but it's something that, Takes Exposed really works on Twitter. And Chuck and Gaz have been like, oh, we should keep an eye on them, and then we can expose our own talent. Go Old Takes Exposed on our own talent. And Katie, because she has an almanac in her head of all of your takes, has sent a lot in the group, and I have touched none. Okay.
I sent one today.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying over this entire season.
And also, I will say, I spent
I just
a lot
want
of time
you, I want everybody to stop talking for a second, real quick. I want to catch up mentally to what just was presented to the group. What Jack just told me and was not denied by Katie is that sometimes it be your own people.
I don't think it's sometimes. It sounds like not only sometimes it be your own people, it sounds like the powers that be above want it to be our people.
So when I get Old Takes Exposed on a normal Tuesday, Katie and Gaz and Chuck are behind all that?
It really depends. I was pulling stuff in support of Lane Kiffin, and I pulled your Hugh Freeze not Power 5 today, or the past few days.
Well, first of all, Auburn doesn't count because they're morally bankrupt just like Ole Miss, okay? Secondly, ain't nobody been hired yet. Nobody's been hired yet. Third, we got a lot of games to talk about. Fourth, we'll get to the coaches in a minute. And fifth, Mississippi State won the Egg Bowl. I give a shit what Lane Kiffin does. He's overrated as shit. We just took it to his ass.
Six, thank you, Jack.
Thank you. You know what? Sometimes in life, you learn who you can trust.
Oh,
you learn who you can look in the eye and shake their hand. And I know Katie Stats does a lot for me behind the scenes and does everything. I didn't know that behind the scenes, she was sticking a knife in my back all the time.
How many followers do you have on TikTok?
I don't know. I don't even know what TikTok is. But Jack, thank you. Jack is a man who will look you in the eye. And if Jack wants to stab me in the back, he'd stab me right in the front because that's who he is.
Hey, he'll just do it straight to your face. If he's going to Old Takes Expose you, he's just going to do it to your fucking face.
Can we react to an incredible rivalry week, or do y'all just want to dick around?
Start a podcast. You're the one that didn't let us start earlier.
I can already tell this is going to be.
It's
going to
be fantastic.
Y'all ain't messing with me today, all right? It's been too good a day for me.
See, this is the problem, and I knew this was going to be a problem.
Start the podcast.
Hey, quit hollering, Jack, but y'all heard him. Let's start the podcast.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hi. Welcome to Unnecessary Roughness, Barstool's Barstool's College Football Podcast.
The High Noon El Prez Pack is here, featuring my top four High Noon Vodka Seltzer flavors. These flavors include passion fruit, pineapple, pear, an all-new flavor, tangerine, all made with real vodka, real juice. This 12-pack is only here for a limited time, so get it while you can. Just look for the pack with my face on it. You can even scan the QR code in the pack and have me virtually join your party. Visit highnoonspirits.com to find the El Prez Pack nearest you.
And you know what else was delicious? This last smorgasbord and buffet of college football that we got to enjoy this week. Not to say the season's over. We still have championship week. We still have Army Navy. We still have a lot of things out there, bowls and playoffs and a lot still on the table. However, this was our last real full shot of college football, and it was something. Starting Thursday night, continuing till tonight, midnight on Saturday night. It's been great. Of course, we'll talk about A&M shocking LSU. Of course, we'll talk about USC solidifying their path to a playoff and potentially probably winning the Heisman Trophy. Of course, we'll talk about the new coaches that are possibly in place. But we have to start, as we knew we would, in Columbus, Ohio. And that is where the Michigan Wolverines and the Ohio State Buckeyes played ostensibly a playoff game to determine the Big Ten champ. The Big Ten East champ. Next week, that team will win the championship and determine who's going to the playoff. And, Michigan just steamrolled them. Michigan 45, Ohio State 23. I have a cavalcade of takes from this game, but I will turn it over to you, Casey Smith, because you, I feel like this is deja vu. You felt this coming all year. You thought it would come, and it has come. Michigan kills Ohio State in the horseshoe.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. It was an absolute curb stomping. And the biggest takeaway, which I know you'll have on your list and we'll continue to talk about it as well, is that everybody on the planet, and for good reason, assumed that if Blake Corum wasn't going to play in this game, that Michigan wouldn't have a chance to win. And when I say everybody on the planet, everyone on the planet who was on Ohio State, the biggest thing that we saw today was two things that everyone was trying to argue against me and anybody who was on Michigan's side this week, is that JJ McCarthy is not near as bad of a quarterback as everybody tried to say that he was, because he had a hell of a day and he hadn't played like that all season, but he had a crazy day. And then two, Donovan Edwards is still really fucking good too. And all year he was second behind Blake Corum, but it was a 1-2 situation with them and he had over 200 yards. So with JJ McCarthy having the day that he did and Donovan Edwards picking up the slack where Blake Corum couldn't play, it was a recipe for disaster because Ohio State had zero answers when both of them got going. And those were things that people thought were impossible and they happened.
I want to be careful how I say respond to the McCarthy thing, because I'm going to be effusive in my praise for Michigan. You can't not be after watching them win that game. I want to start by deconstructing a couple things you said, and that begins when you said it wasn't even close. And that's the rub, because it was very close for a half, and then they went into the half, and one coaching staff came out balls a-blazing, ready to fucking win a game, looking like they would shit down the other team's neck. And one coaching staff and team came out halftime thinking, oh, I hope we're in this game till the end. Oh, I hope we don't mess up. Oh, I hope we don't go for it on 4th-and-3 here and ruin our chances. Ohio State and Michigan went into the locker room. Ohio State was winning 20-17. When they came out, Michigan was 100 times better than Ohio State. That is a coaching issue. That is a coaching problem. Ohio State was scared. They were scared of Michigan. Now, go ahead.
You can answer that. At the end of the day, it wasn't close for four quarters.
That's what I'm saying.
But when I said it wasn't close, it wasn't close by the end of the game. When I picked Michigan to win this game, I said
I wasn't disagreeing with you at all. I was expounding on your point. But here's the thing, and here's the biggest deal of all. This game today, Michigan 45, Ohio State 23, is so much bigger and more important than the very game last year. It is way bigger, way more important, way bigger of a stamp. Because last year, they beat them at home. Last year, they beat them playing the way Michigan plays. Last year, they finally won to at least save some face in the rivalry. But 365 days later, can you do it in Columbus? Can you do it again? One time can happen, anytime. When you do it twice, and when you walk into their building and stub and take your foot and drag across their face in their yard, and you plant your flag on their logo, now you've done something. One time is just a game. Two times is a new normal. And that is exactly what Michigan did today. They said, you know what? We beat you last year, but this is how it's going to be from now on. You know how? Bam, we rubber stamped this. We beat your ass. And we didn't just beat you. We didn't just win the game. We embarrassed you. We took your soul. We took your heart. We, in front of God and everybody, they took their soul today.
And they not only took their soul and embarrassed them, they did it in a way that most people that were on Ohio State thought was impossible. At one point, Michigan had one rushing yard well into the game, one rushing yard, and was still leading the game. And it wasn't like it was 3-0.
In the second half,
Donovan Edwards obviously went crazy, but Michigan rubbed everything all over Ohio State for a half of football and well into the third quarter without having a running game going at all.
That's a very good point. They did it until Donovan Edwards broke those two long runs. They did it playing like Ohio State's brand of football. They did it throwing the ball down the field. They said, okay, we don't have Blake Corum. We're going to try the run. It ain't working. And we're going to – and here's where I want to come back in on J.J. McCarthy, because I don't believe today was some magic elixir that makes him a good quarterback. I think he's fine. But today was so much more than just him, because the scheme, the coaching, all three of his touchdown passes – no, I should say that. Two of his touchdown passes, the two long ones – were to wide open receivers, were to receivers that were schemed open. The first one was a pass in the flats, and the guy made a play. And the second two, and J.J. McCarthy still has to make these throws, and he did a great job of making them, but the coaching staff put it on a tee for him, and they wore Ohio State's ass out. Jim Knowles, you were brought to stop this. You were brought to do something about it, and you didn't.
Michigan's offensive line did such a good job today to give JJ time. And there were clearly some passes that were questionable early on, but once that game got rolling, the offensive line, who is normally the unsung hero of a lot of these games, they played their asses off. And then once Donovan Edwards got rolling, it was just, they couldn't cover it. Ohio State didn't know what to do because, like you said, Michigan was playing Ohio State's type offense, but Michigan all year has been proving that, yeah, if they have the running game and they can get the yards on the ground, they don't need J.J. McCarthy to do a whole lot. And they have it. They needed him to do it today, and he did it. And he had 263 yards and three touchdowns. And everybody was sitting back like, oh, well, if J.J. McCarthy is the reason they're going to win this game, it's not going to happen. Well, he was the reason that they won that game for most of the game, because the offensive line gave him the time to do it.
Yeah, I thought without Blake Corum, Michigan had no chance, and didn't matter at all. Didn't matter at all. Other players stepped up. Jack, I'm about to get on Ohio State's ass. If you want to interject anything on Michigan right here, here's your chance.
No, I think everyone's surprised. What a performance, specifically from the defense. It felt like in the past, when Ohio State played Michigan, those wide receivers would be wide open every time over the middle. Like Dwayne Haskins would drop back and boom, 15-yard pass. It seemed at least on 85% of these plays, those defensive backs were in the ass, of the Michigan, of the Ohio State wide receivers. Like, they were right there. I'm not smart enough from a football schemes perspective to provide why, but whatever they were doing worked. They were throwing slants. There was times that C.J. Stroud got lucky that he didn't throw a pick six. I think there was one when it was like a slant over the middle where a linebacker dropped back in the coverage. The safety came up in the corner. It was almost like a triple team. If the ball was thrown a little bit lower, that linebacker McGregor would have taken it for a pick six. That didn't happen in the past 8 to 10 years of Ohio State and Michigan. The Ohio State quarterback would come out and he would have all day to throw, and he would throw it 15 yards. They go down the field, scored 56 points. That didn't happen today.
Well, and Jack, and even when they did have those moments, I mean, how many drop passes did Ohio State have today? And I know we're going to talk about how bad they played in certain moments, but there were multiple passes that wide receivers dropped from, and passes from CJ Stroud that absolutely should have been caught, that were major, major game changers. I mean, for the lack of better terms, like it was crazy. You don't see that happen in the Ohio State as of late. And we saw that. So then you add the fact that Michigan's defense was up their ass the entire time. It was a recipe for disaster.
I think it comes back. It starts with, at the top. I think Michigan's players played like they were absolutely obsessed with winning this game. Like they would kill themselves to win this game. And Ohio State players played as if they were hoping to stay in this game long enough to win it in the end. And
which is crazy because of last year.
Okay. No, stop there.
Okay.
This, I'm glad you said that, because as big of a day as this is for Michigan, this could be equally as big of a day for Ohio State. You lose once. All right. Okay, you lost. They had to win at some point, but we get them in our place next year. And for 364 days, they had to hear about that school up north beating them and had to hear about them running it down their throat. And they had to watch them in the playoff, and they had to eat that. They had to suck on that. They had to live in that for 364 days. And then they show up in the Horseshoe on Saturday and nothing. They show up. And they just look like they're going through the motions. Oh, they were fine in the first half when nothing was in danger. But when times got tough, when times got hard, and when winning time came up, Ohio State looked like their players didn't belong on the same field as Michigan. And that starts at the very, very top. If you are Ohio State's coach, you are going to be privy to a level of talent that only Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, a couple of teams are privy to. You get that by virtue of being Ohio State's coach. You didn't build that. And Ryan Day has that talent, and he has two jobs. Beat Michigan, win a national title. And he's about to go 0 for 2 again. He's not on the hot seat because he went 11-1, but he's about to be uncomfortable. He's about to be uncomfortable as hell. Ohio State, make no mistake, Ohio State has more talent than Michigan, period. Where was it?
Not only where was it, Brandon, there were multiple times in that game that the Ohio State team was completely undisciplined. That headbutting well into the sideline for no reason to get unsportsmanlike conduct was a massive change in that game. There were multiple penalties that Ohio State had that was just, they were head scratchers. Like, what is going on with this team? They were undisciplined. They didn't look like they wanted to play in the second half. He was getting out coached. And the joke of, oh, Ryan Day was born on third base, a lot of people kind of poo-pooed that and said, well, he's continued to have the success. But what Ohio State fans expect him to do, he's not doing. And then you add the sloppiness of those penalties and the sloppiness of just unnecessary shit that they didn't need to be doing in the biggest game of the year against their rival who beat them to death last year. It was, as an Ohio State fan, you have to sit back and say, what the fuck is going on with this team?
I mentioned how I thought the coaches really did a good job scheming J.J. McCarthy, some successful plays, got him into the game, and then he took off. Ohio State coaches did the opposite for C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is a down-the-field thrower, and I know Michigan's defense is very good, but you knew they were going to be very good. You got to figure out a way. They had the one play to Marvin Harrison, the fade route for a touchdown where he threw a dot, and they never, ever, ever tried that again. And also in the second half, when they're leading 20-17 to start the half and they fall behind 24-20, they got into a couple of situations. I believe it was 4th and 3 at midfield. Then it was 4th and 5 or 4th and 6 at the 43-yard line. And they punted both times. And both times led to long, successful drives. You are Ohio goddamn State. You have the most talent in this game. You're the one that has to be hungry to win this game. Why are you just sitting back and resting on your laurels and saying, well, I hope we get the ball back and then we'll go get him? No, no. Ryan Day got his ass outcoached by a mile today. By a mile. It was a coach, Jim Harbaugh, who has built this team patiently and solidly and has a great foundation. And when they get to big games, I know what I'm getting out of Jim Harbaugh. And Ryan Day, this don't look good.
Well, and the second time that they decided to punt, what they gained 20 yards by punting it. Why not go for it at that point when you know exactly what's going to happen if you give Michigan the ball back? It wasn't early enough in the game where they were just going to force JJ McCarthy to have to throw and then hope that the ground game can't get going. By that point in the game, they knew exactly what Michigan was doing. They had been doing it all fucking game. So the fact that they decided to punt there and gain a whole 20 yards and then watch Michigan march right down the field, again, as an Ohio State fan, if you're sitting there watching that, you have to think, why was that the decision at this point in the game when the game wasn't out of control yet?
So I got one more, and this is, you know, I don't often, I go up coaches a lot, I go at fans a lot, I rarely go at players, but this needs to be said. When things are good and the other team is massively out-talented, like CJ Stroud runs into a lot when he's playing Indiana, when he's playing Illinois, when he's playing Michigan State, when he's playing teams that aren't going to bother him, boy, it's a thing to watch. It is a beauty and a joy to behold. He's going to throw that ball for 400 yards and five touchdowns, and everything is great. But in the second half of that game today, when things got tight, when things got rough, and this happened last year too, when things were on the line and when somebody had to step up in Scarlet and Gray and make a play, he didn't. Mm-mm. He didn't get close.
He did not get close.
Now, adversity is not something that befalls the Ohio State quarterback situation a lot. But in both times we've seen adversity come up to CJ Stroud in the last 2 years, Michigan has walked out of there smiling, and he has not made that play. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. He's not. But he didn't go get the plays today. And if you want to win a Heisman, which that's out the window, you got to go get the plays. And he did not do it. Jack, am I way off there?
What Jack just said is 100% correct. What
did he say? I was too.
I said his body language was awful. He kind of looked like, and Casey probably picked up on it more because, women just read body language so much better than men. CJ Stroud kind of like just looked like the guy at the end where it's like, I'm not going to say he didn't care. I think he saw the result happening and said to himself, all right, whatever. Like, I'm a top 5 pick, top 10 pick. Yeah, like, I didn't end up beating Michigan. It's not the end of the world. Like, whatever.
He was like a fighter, didn't want to be hit no more.
Yeah, he was kind of – it was like – he almost is like a – and it happens a lot in fighting. He's almost like a champion that it's like he's won the championship so many times, and then this challenger is just here, and he's just like – all he thinks about is beating him. And he just took his, like you said, took his soul from him. Like
you, and you're right, Jack. Women do pick up on that shit very, very easily. And the biggest stark contrast of what you just said about CJ Stroud was what JJ McCarthy was doing the entire game. Because even when the game was still close, even when they weren't blowing them out yet, JJ McCarthy was playing with a fire up his ass. And then obviously at the end of the game, you saw the wave, you saw
all the Michigan's players were. All of Michigan's players
right.
were.
Right. But it's like there was something going on with CJ Stroud. And, you know, he is a great quarterback. We know that. He will probably have a very good NFL career. But all season, I've sat here and multiple people have sat in front of him and said, CJ Stroud just doesn't look like he wants to win the Heisman. Yes, he has great numbers. Marvin Harrison Jr., by the way, unbelievable. Like, he is going to have one hell of a career. That guy can catch basically anything. However, there were moments throughout the season where I would give CJ Stroud a little bit of shit and Ohio State fans would come flying in like, oh, what are you talking about? It's the best offense in the country. It's the best quarterback in the country. When you have the opportunity to not only beat your rival, but to put the Heisman conversation to bed, to rest, he didn't seem like he wanted to do it. And meanwhile, you've got JJ McCarthy, who's been told by everybody and their mom how bad of a quarterback he is, waving in your face by the end of the game. Just a bad look for CJ Stroud across the board.
Yeah, it was. It was a bad day for Ohio State. It was a reality. It's reality now. Last year is one time. It's a fluke. Twice and in your place, it is reality. This rivalry has flipped. It has completely changed, and Michigan now owns it.
Michigan now owns it, and before the season, when we made our predictions, and of course, it's always fun to dance on everybody when you're right. It's horrible when everybody dances on you when you're wrong. But today, when I tweeted out the video that we had from August, when I said, well, it's a two quarterback system, clearly that wasn't the case because they stuck with JJ McCarthy when they needed to. It was more of a two running back situation all year. But this Michigan team, and I could eat crow, I could eat crow because in this calendar year, we've seen what happened with Michigan in the playoff. But the way that Michigan played today, having to not only figure out what to do without their best running back, have another running back have 200 yards, but have a quarterback actually step up against an Ohio State defense that did get better this year. They did. They clearly weren't great, but they got better from last year. This Michigan team feels like it's more built for the playoff than last year's. And that's why if you are a Michigan fan, you should take it and say, okay, we got our dicks kicked in by Georgia earlier this year. This isn't the same Michigan team.
We'll see about that. I think I wouldn't have any problem with calling them co-favorites with Georgia. I certainly think they should be 1 and 2, and you can put them in any order. I think those are – I think they're going to play for a national title, those two teams. I do want to – I do disagree with something you just said, and it's not something you said. It's something everybody said. When it has been said ad nauseum, Ohio State's defense is better this year. Was it? Like at no point in this season did they really have to prove that. The dirty secret about the Big Ten is you got to beat Michigan and you got to beat Penn State and you're golden. And they beat Penn State, but Penn State scored what, 30 points? Penn State, whose offense isn't great, scored 30 points. Nobody else on that schedule scares you from an offensive perspective. And Ohio State was able to win games. But when they got to nut cutting time today, like it's the second half of the biggest game of the year, and Donovan Edwards looked shocked to be just on the open field twice. And J.J. McCarthy's throwing against air. Did they get better, or their schedule just make them look like they got better?
That's a fair point because you're right. I mean, they didn't have to get tested when they did finally get tested by an offense that was supposed to be one-dimensional. That's, you know, again, J.J. McCarthy didn't have to do anything all year. He just had to be serviceable and allow the ground game to get going. They did not look better. I guess for some reason, this game, and I realize that 365 days ago, Michigan did the same thing to Ohio State and kicked the shit out of them. This one felt so much worse because it wasn't Columbus, as we've mentioned, but there was just something about the way that Michigan just tore them apart. Just every single time they had the ball down the stretch, it was just like, what Ohio State team is this? And I think it's because CJ Stroud and the offense just wasn't who we expected them to be. But I don't know. I mean, Michigan just feels like it's a better team than last year. And I know Ev was sitting there on the stream and the stream was hilarious and tons of people watched, and I get that. But Ev was sitting there saying, well, we're a better team than Michigan. Well, you might have better talent, but you can't watch what just happened today and say that Ohio State's a better team than Michigan side of the ball.
Coaching is a significant part of a team. And Ohio State's coaching isn't in the same stratosphere as Michigan's coaching. That's just a fact.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Who are the two best coaches over the past year, year and a half, or like past two seasons?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly, you got to put Harbaugh in the mix, as he's been in the playoff twice now, or I assume he's going to be in the playoff.
Kirby.
It's hard to say because, you know, Kirby is so based on talent, but, you know, Kirby just won a national title and is right there again. And yeah, so I would say those are the two guys.
Yeah, and those are the two guys that we've said could never win the big game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Kirby, they figured it out.
Long. Yeah, you're right.
So this is why, like, if I'm a Penn State fan, I'm not comparing James Franklin to those two, but like there are situations where coaches, you know, figure it out. You know, Kirby was a guy that never was like, you're like, oh, could he win the big game? He always finds a way to lose. Harbaugh too. Like, think about the stats that were thrown around about Harbaugh prior to last season about him against rivals. It's all changed now. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of, you know, things change and coaches evolve. And then also some coaches fall too, which we're kind of seeing from Ryan Day, not saying he's finished or anything.
Well,
he's not finished at all.
Ev had him fired in the middle.
Well, Ev was in his bag.
I know he doesn't actually mean that. But I mean, here's my question to you, Jack, to counterpoint that. Let's say Urban Meyer didn't leave Ohio State. Do you think, I mean, it's all in retrospect. We don't know. It's hypothetical. But would Jim Harbaugh be in this position if Urban Meyer was still at Ohio State? I don't know.
Did you see that?
I'm not trying to take anything away. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I wish there was a reality that we could go into and see. But yeah, like, and who knows? My thing is, it's like, your coach may not be winning those massive games right now, but he may, like, if he has talent and he's putting his, like, a 9-3, 10-2 team on the season, like, giving up on him necessarily isn't the greatest move.
That works in a lot of places. It's sound logic. It's very sound logic. But at Ohio State, you were hired to beat Michigan and win the national title. And,
oh, I'm not. That's not a comment on Ryan Day. That was more a comment on like other schools' coaches.
Katie, you had something before we move on, Katie.
That there was a post show for like the Big 12, their desk after the game, and then Urban was on it. All the Ohio State fans behind him were cheering, "We want Urban."
Oh yeah, it was.
Funniest visual.
Yeah, it is what it is on that one.
But, he probably loves that. You know, he loves that. He's probably like, "Oh, he was grinning. 100%. My headaches are cured."
So, I guess we can move off of that. Michigan has Michigan now owns the Ohio State rivalry until further notice.
And also, I don't do this often because I'm not right a whole lot, but I have to say, I tried to tell you guys Michigan was going to win. Michigan was going to beat Ohio State. Had to say it.
All right.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
See, this is what...
Oh, what's happening?
You know, it really do be your own people. Because,
oh, no.
I haven't done anything in the past.
What's happening? No. Now that I know how y'all do it, Pick Central just tweeted out my Miami take from August and saying, "Oh, they went 5-7." He did
That's a not even. I didn't touch. I don't touch Pick Central.
I didn't say you did. But this happened on the show right now. Like, I don't understand what. Why are we tweeting that? What good is that for anybody?
It do be your own people. You know why, Brandon? It's because the engagement of it, and Gaz likes to watch the world burn.
I'm not hurting for engagement. How about when me and you predicted Caleb Williams won the Heisman in August? Ain't nobody tweeting that shit out now.
That you know what, you have to look out for yourself there, because that's why I was texting with Katie, Noah, and Jack today.
Whoa.
No, hold on.
Will Anderson to win the Heisman. Your little Desmond Howard 25-year thing. I remember that.
Hold on. Didn't we have on this show, I picked Caleb Williams?
So you had multiple highs. All right.
We'll let me find that. The graphic.
Dude, hold on. Okay, so he spoke. He can be talked to. Jack, there's 10,000 college football players. I only pick two. You can pick two.
Okay, yeah.
When did you pick Will Anderson to win the Heisman?
I thought I picked Caleb Williams on the show.
I don't think you did. Maybe you did. I don't think that you did. But I will say this, Brandon, I've learned this, and Katie, Jack, and Noah are great at helping, but I thought about this. I was sitting in the gambling cave watching Ohio State, Michigan. It was in the third quarter, and the text I sent was, "I know there's a lot of game left, but can I please get my take that I thought Michigan was going to beat Ohio State?" Because I knew that Gaz or anybody else would want me clamoring for that. So you have to look out for yourself with your right takes.
She's talking, Jack. Shut up. Shut up.
I'm just saying, it is your own people, because again, Gaz likes to watch the world burn. Paul, great person. Gaz knows that people are going to shit all over wrong takes, and we talk so much, and not just us, everybody, that we have a ton of them. But if you have a right take, you have to look out for yourself. So
I have the Big 12, the Pac-12 graphic. Brandon, Casey, and me have Caleb Williams the player of the year.
That's what I was thinking about. Anyway, doesn't matter. All right. Speaking I have USC of, in the playoff, though. I know that.
I had him in the playoff, too.
Okay, Casey. You don't have to be Miss Sunshine, okay? Just let me have one thing.
I let you have so many things because you have the right to so many things. One thing that I have said, and I tweeted this about all the Ohio State, and I put in quotes, men who are in my DMs and have been all year. When I take Michigan, the two things I get is, one, you're pandering. Two, you're a dumb blonde with big tits. And listen, I was right. So I'm going to just rub it in everybody's face. And yeah, I do have big tits. Get over it.
Me too. Get over it. All right. So we move on from Michigan, Ohio State to another team that is looks like they're solidifying their path to the playoff. They're not in yet. They'll have to win next week over what looks like maybe Washington. But USC took a big step tonight, both on an individual basis with their quarterback, Caleb Williams, who looks like he is circling the biggest award in college sports, and then their team, which is a bigger deal, a much bigger deal. They beat Notre Dame, and they are one win away from being in the playoff. That's USC. Casey, I know we both picked it to begin the season, but you never know how these things happen. USC faced a lot of question marks this season. They haven't blown anybody out. They haven't done this. Their defense is this. They showed up tonight against a Notre Dame team who's been very, very good lately and handled business.
And they've been handling business outside of the one-point loss to Utah, but they've not been handling business the way that they did tonight. And that was the biggest takeaway, because even though they'd only lost that game to Utah, they weren't blowing people out. And this offense, Caleb Williams, Jordan Addison, you go down the list, was doing all they could do to win. And then the defense was keeping these teams that really had no business staying in the game with USC most of the season in those games. Tonight, it was a completely different story. And Notre Dame still tried to keep it pretty interesting down the stretch. And they didn't have a terrible night. But USC finally, at the end of the season, and I know they have to win the championship, but they were able to prove that they, I mean, because everyone and their mom was on Notre Dame to win this game or to cover this game.
I have never in my life seen Jack McGuire this antsy and excited to say something. He threw his hand up like he knew the answer to every problem on the board, Casey. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but this motherfucker just looked like, look at him.
Yeah,
all right, Jack, what have you got?
He raised his hand, I think, when I was talking about the fact that USC put him away
You want to testify right now, Jack?
No, it's not about USC. Everything you said is right, Casey. But over at Auburn Undercover, inside the Auburn Tigers, one of the message boards, message board poster, Tigers 2291 posted, "What coach has never sinned?"
Jack, I know it's late.
What just happened?
I know it's late, Jack. You're going to have to use your interruptions a little bit smarter than
that's
that.
That's so funny. Jack. What coach has never sinned? Great. That's just I'm crying. I thought you guys would like that more. I'm sorry.
We were in the history was talking.
That was so funny.
He was about to say that on the message on Auburn's message boards, Hugh Freeze turned the job down or something.
I thought you said something about USC that he was about to prove categorically wrong and make you look stupid. I thought, oh my God, Jack's ready to fucking preach. And then, okay, anyway.
What I was saying, Brandon, was that USC finally buried a team that has proven that they had life late into the season the way that they needed to. And it was, it's the perfect timing for them to do it going into the Pac-12 championship. But the biggest story is Caleb Williams just won the Heisman.
I disagree with that being the biggest story. I want to circle back to USC because they could play they could be in the playoff.
Yes. Yes. But I'm saying
that is a big story.
The game itself.
We'll get to it in a second. This was a proven moment and USC absolutely just proved it. And to me, we'll get to Caleb Williams in a second. This proves what is possible in 2022 football. It proves what's possible in 2023 football. USC was dead, mediocre, boring, done, gone. What'd they do? Hired the right coach. What'd the right coach do? Got the right quarterback. What'd they do together? Went out to the transfer portal, brought in a bunch of players. Bing, bam, boom. They're on the doorstep of the playoff. That happened in one off season. And these other coaches out here, it takes 2 years to build a program, 3 years to build a program. Not anymore. You don't build programs anymore. You do, but you don't have to just build programs anymore. You can build teams. And USC went out and built a team this year that can get to the playoff. I don't know if it's going to last forever, but they have a team this year that can get to the playoff, and that's what's possible in 2022 football. They got the coaching hire right, and he got the quarterback transfer right, and look where they are. Speaking of the quarterback, probably won the Heisman Trophy tonight.
He absolutely would have made a case to be there even if CJ Stroud and obviously Blake Corum was hurt, so he's out of the picture as well, even if that game had gone a little bit differently. However, it was a perfect storm for him because everything that happened all day was playing in favor of somebody step up. But that play that he had on second and 12, the one that went viral, the one that everybody was talking about, was that moment. And he's had moments, and he's had the yards, and he's had the plays, but that's that one highlight moment where you're like, that's when that Heisman was sewed up. That's when it was won, regardless of what else happened. But I mean, he just absolutely destroyed Notre Dame's defense tonight.
Now, I think he does have to stick the landing next week. He has to play well, and they have to win, I believe, to really finish this thing out.
He's minus 2,000 on the Barstool Sportsbook right now.
I know. Plus 2,000. Again, he's got to stick the landing. He can't come out and lay a stinker and then lose next week. But
it'd have to be a really bad stinker.
Everybody else has done that. Like everybody, CJ Stroud was a favorite today. He's now plus 5,000. If you throw a stinker out there,
2,000 people have been plus two, like 150. I'm sorry, minus 150.
Okay,
minus 2,000. That's like the biggest thing you've seen.
I don't know who else would. I mean, unless you put Max Duggan in it.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
It would circle back and people will realize, oh, okay, well, this isn't a team award, it's an individual award. Then they start weighing together. It would bring the pack back together. He is right now separated, but if he shits the bed next week, he's no longer separated, and then you got the pack again. But I think it's going to be not really a concern. I think he'll handle business and play well next week and end up winning the damn thing. It's really weird. He has been good, and he has been very good, and he probably will win the Heisman. But what he's really won here is a war of attrition. He's just lasted longer than everybody else. Hendon Hooker was in this mix until he got hurt last week and lost. C.J. Stroud was in this mix until he went out today and laid an egg. Bryce Young kind of fell by the wayside early. Like, guys have been in the Heisman race till up in about 11 weeks, 12 weeks, and they just fall apart. And now you look, Blake Corum gets hurt, and Caleb Williams just sitting there like, hey, guys, been here the whole time. Give me the award.
There's a theory or a school of thought that's going around on social media right now that I really don't like, where it's like, well, the Heisman is, you know, such a shitty race this year that, like, who cares? Like, people were saying that. And again, I'm sure it's just a loud minority, but that's just a shitty take. Like, that's not – like yes, there have been years where guys are so very clearly the Heisman Trophy winner. You can go down the list of, you know, the most recent ones all the way back. But just because the other guys that were in the race laid eggs does not make what Caleb Williams has done less of a Heisman Trophy winning season, because he's been playing well all year, regardless of what their defense has done. And then to have the moment in the Rose Bowl last week, which was the true start of the, hey, Caleb Williams could actually win this thing, have that moment on a big stage, beat their rival the way that he did, have over 500 yards, then to do it again tonight against a team that a lot of people said was going to beat USC. So I don't like this whole idea, but, oh, well, the Heisman doesn't mean that much this year because everyone else sucks. So fucking what? That's how the cookie crumbles. Caleb Williams happens to be still doing his job, and he deserves to win the thing.
It's a lot better than last year. Last year was much a much grosser competition than this year. I think there's actually people all had the moments.
Casey, I think what they're saying has merit. What you're saying has merit too, in that it takes nothing away from Caleb Williams. He has accomplished this. He has done this, and he has. But I do think this was not really a race as so much as just like an eliminator challenge. Like these guys would be like driving along, and then an engine would give out, and now you got three cars, and another engine would give out, and they get two cars, and then another engine give out, and he's just the car that's left standing. Like it's a weird race, and that it's a different race than any other, but I think that is how he is going to win it. But again, that's why I think he really has to finish it next week, because if he falls apart, we might just be back to the starting line again. Like, I don't think we will, but it's just, anyway, doesn't matter. That's an individual award. The bigger deal here is that USC is one game from the playoff, and they're a sight for sore eyes, frankly. I'm going to bring in TCU now. TCU cruises today. They destroyed Iowa State. But right now, as of 12:28 a.m. on November 20-something, 27th, 2022, we have a very cut and dry, clean playoff. If it stays like this, we got the playoff. Easy. It's going to be Georgia, Michigan, USC, TCU. That's going to be your four. If TCU can finish their business next week, if USC can finish their business next week, that is your playoff. If either of those teams loses, it gets gross.
Gross in a hurry.
Because you know why? Nobody wants to admit what I'm about to say.
No.
It's not the team you think I'm going to talk about.
It's Alabama.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's Ohio State. We just watched them get thoroughly outclassed. You can roll your eyes. Everybody.
No, I'm not rolling my eyes at the thought of you saying it. I'm rolling my eyes that they do not fucking deserve it. And if the game today would have been close,
hey,
I would be singing a different story.
Folks,
but you can't go lose the way that you did to your rival at home and get your dicks absolutely kicked in and deserve to be in the playoff.
If this were to happen and we get back into the pool to try to find somebody else, and you compare them to Alabama, who's got two losses, and Ohio State has the one loss, it will be one hell of a discussion. Because Clemson is now gone. I'm not sure TCU couldn't lose and still have a hell of an argument.
I think that they could. And that's the things that happened today. However, I do think that when you look at the resume comparison, and I'm not saying that I think Alabama should absolutely be in over Ohio State. I think that, you know, there's arguments to be had, but the way that Alabama has lost the games that they've lost, two of them being one score games versus the way Ohio State played today. I understand a loss is more important, but it's much easier to sit back and say, okay, well, you know, Alabama, yeah, they lost one more game, but they didn't look like absolute garbage
if you dig into their resume at all, who's their big win? Ole Miss? 8-4 Ole Miss?
Ohio State's is Penn State, and I know Penn State finished 10-2.
That's a hell of a lot better win. That's
yeah, not definitely. Close. I know, you know, we talked about it at the Gambling Cave today, and obviously, you know, Dan, as a Wisconsin fan, doesn't want to see divisions go away in the Big Ten because he likes the fact that the division he plays in the West is so much worse than the East. But this is why you need to get rid of divisions, because there, if Ohio State gets blown out today, not if they did, they don't even win their division. It's not even that they didn't win the Big Ten. They didn't even win the Big Ten East. They don't deserve to be in the playoff.
Casey, I'm not telling you they deserve.
Well, I know. I don't want to live in a world where I have to see Ohio State in the playoff like that.
If TCU or USC loses, we're going to have to go dumpster diving for a piece of trash to put them in the playoff. And Ohio State's might be the best looking piece of trash.
And can I say something that I know Clemson fans are not going to like?
Yeah.
Thank God South Carolina beat them today.
Stop right there. Next up, South Carolina is the weirdest team in America. But thank God, I wrote that. Thank God they saved us from Clemson getting back into this thing. Thank God they were able to go into Clemson and shine a light on the fraud that is Clemson once again. South Carolina gets their biggest win in about a week, but they get their biggest rivalry win in a very long time. That's a program that hired Shane Beamer a couple of years ago. And even this year for Carolina is the weirdest thing. 2 weeks ago, they wanted to fire their offensive coordinator. They hated him. They thought he was the worst person ever. They were even questioning Beamer. Last five games for South Carolina, here they are. They lost 23-10 to Missouri at home. They beat Vanderbilt 38-27. Then they lost 38-6 to Florida, who is not good. And they're wanting to fire everybody. They're wanting to fire their offensive coordinator. Last 2 weeks, they scored 94 points in a win over Tennessee and a win over previously number 5 or 6 or 7, whatever Clemson was, 8, 31-30 win. They scored 94 points in 2 weeks. Spencer Rattler all of a sudden looks like the Spencer Rattler of his freshman season in Oklahoma. Incredible turnaround for South Carolina.
And you mentioned it's their biggest win in a week. And yes, knocking off Tennessee is always going to be huge, especially because, like we mentioned, Tennessee just had to sit back and relax and beat South Carolina, who was at that point down bad, and then Vanderbilt, which they did. They absolutely curb stomped Vanderbilt, and they get into the playoff. But South Carolina being able to beat Clemson, their rival, and on top of that, back-to-back weeks spoil two different teams' playoff hopes. Because especially the way that everything else played out, again, Clemson, clear path to the playoff if they win today. Clear path, as long as, you know, as long as they took care of business in the ACC championship, they were going to be there. Did they deserve to be a top four team? No. And I know there are going to be people that are listening that are saying, oh, you guys say thank God. Well, if the playoff was expanded, then you would have to see them anyways. Different story. Because if there's 12 teams, put Clemson in and let them get killed by somebody else. But they are not a top four team in the country. And South Carolina got to spoil their rival, who has proven year after year after year that they can do whatever they want to South Carolina. That has to feel so fucking good.
There are two things about this game. They're both on the Clemson side. Number one, the DJ Uiagalelei era at Clemson is over. It is finished. He will not play there next year, or he will not start there next year. This offseason, it will be all about getting Cade Klubnik ready to be their starting quarterback next year. Klubnik, Klubnik, however you say it. Whether DJ is transfers to somewhere, whether he plays at Clemson, I don't know. He will never start a meaningful game at Clemson again. Today, he was 8 for 29, 99 yards and an interception. He was atrocious, and Clemson just can't – they can't have that. Number two, Clemson has officially lost its eliteness. Last year when they went 9-3, okay, you have 1 year, but let's see how you do next year, because we're going to give you a pass. You've been to four playoffs. You've won two national titles. We'll give you a pass for this year. Just prove it next year. And they were not any better this year. They were not elite. They belong nowhere near the top 10 at any point in the season. Thank God there were two teams that showed us that. They don't have elite quarterback play, elite receiver play, elite anything anymore outside the defensive line, maybe. Clemson's time at the top of college football is over.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Clemson fans are going to be mad about that, but...
That's fine. Let them be mad. I mean,
I know, but the proof is there. And I think that the biggest surprise with this game was not necessarily that Clemson's offense played the way that it did, because we've seen Clemson's offense be pretty subpar all year. I mean, again, DJ was benched earlier this year. It was the way Clemson's defense played, because going into today, the biggest question is, well, can Spencer Rattler have a game against this Clemson defense that is supposed to be elite and supposed to be very good the way he did against Tennessee's defense, which was clearly overrated for a lot of the season, then proven to not be very good. And he did. No, he didn't have six touchdowns, but the man was lighting a cigar. And Jack, I think that you were the one that tweeted it. He was channeling the Joe Burrow vibes at the end of the game against Clemson's defense, this elite Clemson defense we hear about every year. And we're talking about Spencer Rattler, who, by the way, should, I assume he's playing again next year. I assume that he would not leave, because the momentum that he has now is old school Oklahoma vibes. But this Clemson elite defense let Spencer Rattler kick their doors in today.
Yeah, it was crazy. Jack, any thoughts on Clemson?
No, yeah, shock. I mean, they were up 14-0 early, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't – they were cruising it.
They were up 14-0, and then they were up 16-7, I think, and then maybe 23 to something. Like, they were fine for a while, and then they just weren't.
They had that weird, like, trick kickoff play return. Tried on a kickoff – or the safety kickoff, which was bizarre.
Well, there was about a 5-minute stretch there where that might have been the weirdest game in the country. You had
some weird shit.
A blown ref call on a backwards pass that they just blew it dead and didn't give it to South Carolina. That was terrible officiating. And then there was a safety. South Carolina got sacked for a safety, kicked off. South Carolina's backed up to their 1-yard line. They get hit for a safety, and it's the best thing that happened to them because they got to kick off. Clemson fumbles a kickoff. They immediately go just a wild game. But Shane Beamer, 8-4, 8-4, and will probably be ranked come Monday.
Jack, what did you – I know you tweeted it, but I wish I was in the same room as you with the Spencer Rattler cigar thing. I could just see your face in my head. I was like, Jack's loving this shit.
Well, it like blew up. Like somehow it's the weirdest tweets that blow up. Like it has 11,000 likes, but it's like so many South Carolina fans are so mad that I said it. Like they're just, I haven't felt the wrath of South Carolina Twitter. They are furious at me, calling me awful names.
Okay. What did you say?
Oh, I just tweeted out the video of Spencer Rattler smoking a cigar and said, man thinks he's Joe Burrow, LOL. Like, that's all I said. And then I want to get the exact.
I will say South Carolina fans, I have felt the wrath of them this season, which I couldn't necessarily figure out why, because I know that they beat A&M, but then they flipped right back because I tweeted out that I said South Carolina beating Clemson was going to be my upset of the year in the SEC. They love that. So apparently South Carolina's Twitter fan base is a very passionate fan base. They'll swing either way. You say one thing nice, they love you. You say one thing even remotely negative, they fucking hate you.
Let's be real though. Little weird that he was smoking a cigar.
No, why?
Is that weird?
Why is that weird? Who smokes cigars after games?
Tennessee just did it you go beat your rival. You go win a game. Yeah, smoke a cigar. Smoke a victory cigar.
I do think that the two examples you usually see with that are the Alabama-Tennessee game, because that's like the tradition that they have, and then whoever wins the national championship. I don't think you see it in the regular season.
Jack, you're right. I think this is becoming a lot more ubiquitous in college football than it has been, because Mississippi State the other day, and I think you tweeted out, look at that cigar. It was one of the most ridiculous-looking cigars I've ever seen. A coach had one that was this big around. I think it's just something that's in college football now, smoking cigars in your opponent's locker room. Maybe I'm crazy.
If I was Spencer Rattler, I'd probably be stunting on him too, because people gave him a ton of shit.
He had a great end to the season, but let's not.
Why are you hating? They just beat Clemson for the first time forever, Jack.
And they spoiled
the season.
Do what?
No, he's.
The season.
Yeah, great end to the season, but let's not make it seem like he's like some spectacular.
Two different playoff teams' hopes, and every year people are talking about, oh, he's so bad, he's so terrible, he's a terrible quarterback, and they just beat Tennessee and Clemson. They were top 10 teams.
Now, we're reading too much into it. Casey, that's fine. He beat Clemson. If you're a South Carolina quarterback, that's what you live for. They hate him. They hate each other. Hate, hate, hate. Cigar's fine. All right, we move on.
You mentioned TCU, and then we kind of moved past it. But the biggest thing with TCU, and Brandon, I think you were on TCU with me as well, was that the whole question was, can they blow a team out? Iowa State has a great defense, one of the best defenses in the Big 12. The moral of the story with TCU is that offense is impossible to keep up with if your offense can't do anything. And that's what we saw today. I mean, Max Duggan, I know he's a way outsider chance, especially after what happened with Caleb Williams and USC today, but that offense is unreal explosive. And they just buried the shit out of Iowa State today, which I expected them to do. And not that they needed those quote cliche style points, but they put them up today. I mean, it was just a bloodbath.
Yeah. Iowa State's just terrible though.
Yeah. They're not good.
They've had a really good defense, though, this entire year. Even though they couldn't score, they had a great defense. And TCU,
but that's the thing, is that their defense is good, but they can't score. So if you can't score and you're playing TCU, like, you're fucked, because TCU is just going to just destroy you. Now, that's in the Big 12. We'll see what happens in the playoff. But, I mean, just I couldn't figure out why.
Hold on. We'll see what happens in the Big 12 title game.
Yes. I think the TCU doubt has to be dead. No, I'm not saying you're doing it. I know you've given that up too, but anybody who's doubting TCU, I couldn't figure out why people were on Iowa State this week. I'm just like, what are we watching here? TCU is proving that they are going to run all over teams. And if that team can't score, we'll see. But I mean, TCU is the real deal.
All right. Before we get to the goods here, we got to stop and talk about the coaching news. All right. We have Matt Rhule to Nebraska.
I love it.
Matt Rhule, former Baylor coach, former Temple coach, had some good turnarounds and short tenures there and turned it into the NFL Panthers job. He got fired there, but now he is back to coaching college football. He is going to Nebraska, a place that has been in dire straits lately. And we'll talk about them in a minute for what they did this week. But, by the way, look at that. How about that?
I think it's a fantastic hire.
I'm wearing a Nebraska shirt.
You are. It looks comfortable.
Yeah. Crazy how that happened when they beat Iowa. Anyway, Matt Rhule to Nebraska. I guess we can have a full coaching search and we can do the grades later and everything. But I don't – yeah, it's a very solid hire. It's a good hire. It's a coach who has engineered two turnarounds at two different places and has come into some bad circumstances and done very, very well. And he's coming into bad circumstances here. So if I'm, I got to give a B, a solid B, and maybe an A minus so far. That's a good name for them to go pull.
I think so. I would probably give it an A minus just because I think that he's catching a lot of shit for the Panthers stint, which some guys can coach in college and some guys go to the NFL and prove that they can do it there and they can't. I think that he has proven that he can build programs up in college, which is obviously the most important thing. And Nebraska needs to be built up and they already have the passion and the fan base there. If I'm a Nebraska fan, I love the hire.
Yeah. And I'm sure they all do. They'll get on, they kind of got a little cultish tendencies themselves. So
nothing wrong with that.
They'll all get on that one pretty quickly. It appears
for Colorado.
They've offered Deion, right? That is, I don't think, is that a rumor or is just a straight report that they've offered Deion? It's
confirmed that they've offered. I think everything beyond that's rumored.
So in the SEC, we have Lane Kiffin, who desperately tried to get the Auburn job. I don't think he's going to get it. It looks like maybe Hugh Freeze, although something about this still stinks. Something about the entire situation stinks. Like they did all this to hire Hugh Freeze. Like, is Hugh Freeze a smokescreen? Are they really going to hire him tomorrow? There was a report today by Pete Thamel and others that they've been talking to him for a week. Hugh Freeze went 8-4 at Liberty this year. They got beat by UConn. They got killed today by New Mexico State. Like, okay, this is who we're going to get. This is his questionable background, and we're going to bring him back to the Power Five.
Well, I don't know. Like Jack said, all coaches have sinned.
Yeah, all coaches have sinned. That's fine. And then Lane Kiffin, we'll see. He still hasn't signed his official contract update with Ole Miss, though. So I don't know. I think this one could get weird on Sunday. We'll judge Hugh Freeze to Auburn if it happens on Tuesday. We'll judge whatever happens with Auburn on Tuesday. But that's your rumor mill out there.
May I make a request?
Yes.
So regardless of what happens with the Auburn job, can Noah please bring the paper that you had him save just because I want to see what was on it? Whatever happens, if Hugh signs it or whatever, the numbers will start to come out. And you said this today on the stream that if Hugh Freeze gets the job, it's probably because he's much cheaper than Lane would have been. I want to see what you wrote down on that paper as far as contract goes.
I am eager to see if Auburn came to the realization that we can have Lane Kiffin for $10 million a year, or we can have Hugh Freeze the same thing for $6 million a year. I do wonder if that came into play. I don't know if that came into play. We'll see. We'll see very soon. We'll talk about that when it actually.
When's Lane Kiffin going to be a good team?
All right. Now, he brought it up.
He teed it up, Jack. Good for you.
Here's the thing. And I know he's my rival. And I can finally say this because we finally beat him after 2 years. He beat us twice, but we beat him the other night. Here's the thing about Lane Kiffin. He might turn back into a pumpkin at any time. He's a fine coach, good coach. He's better than anything Ole Miss has had. But he's had 26 games against SEC opponents since he got to Ole Miss. He has never beaten a team that finished with an SEC winning record, ever. He has never beaten an SEC team that finished with a winning record. He had the easiest schedule in America for a Power 5 team this year at Ole Miss. They got to play Georgia Tech. They got to play Vanderbilt out of the East. Like, they had a remarkably easy schedule, and it looked like they were doing good. But what happened when the schedule got tough? They lost 4 out of their last 5, and a couple of those weren't close. Jack, I think it's – when I say it, it's because I'm biased. And when I say it, it's because I hate Ole Miss. If you dig into his record there, he's kind of it's kind of a little shinier than it ought to be.
And I think I saw a stat. I wish I could give credit to the guy who tweeted it out, but he looked into Lane Kiffin's stats as a coach, and he can't find a team that he beat as a coach in college football that finished in the top 25. The last time he beat a team that did that was 2011 at Oregon when he was at USC. So that's a while, and he didn't beat any playoff teams when he was at the Raiders. I will say there is a value to a coach beating up on bad teams, but you have to at least go like 500 against the good teams. When's he going to beat a good team? Thursday night was a perfect example. Like, you guys just like, I mean, it got close at the end, but that was because of an unforced error on by Will Rogers. That game was
if
over.
Anybody, if Will Rogers missed the bus that day, we would have beat Ole Miss by 30 points. Like,
yeah.
Listen, I love the kid. He had a bad game that night. He had a bad game. He threw a pick, fumbled twice, and he fumbled in the goal line. Like, if we just ran the ball every play of the second half, we win that game by 20 points pretty easily. We were the much better team, and we finally won that game. But I do wonder if Lane was prepared to get about $10 million from Auburn, and then they got to the altar and like, I don't know about this. No, I'm just speculating. I don't know.
You're speculating, but it's a fair speculation because we said it. I guess it was probably Thursday's episode or Tuesday's, whatever. I mean, again, holiday weeks, we don't know what's going on. But it was a very weird way that Lane was deflecting the job because he didn't just come out and say, I'm not taking the job, which we've seen, like I said, Lincoln Riley to LSU. He never came out and said that he wasn't taking it. He was just playing around with the Twitter pettiness, which I'm all here for. And then the way that they lost to Arkansas and then they lost to you guys, there was just something just in the air of just like, what's actually happening here?
I'll tell you what's actually happening. They weren't very good. They were never very good.
I know. I'm talking about the coaching search, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying that it still just never truly made sense, and it still doesn't. Like, there's still something missing in it, and I never was 100% that I thought Lane was going to go to Auburn just because I didn't have that proof, but I believed everything you were saying because it made the most sense. And then from the clouds, Hugh Freeze's name gets thrown into it or gets more solidified into it, but we still don't have an answer and the games are done.
Ole Miss fans can celebrate if Lane Kiffin stays there because they keep a pretty good coach. However, there was absolutely something about Lane to Auburn. There was something to it. That guy tanked his last two games by not being able to tell his team, oh, I signed the new contract and I'm going to stay here. It was absolutely a distraction, and he blew the last two games because he – was leading on or dragging this thing out. He didn't handle it very well at all. And he's out there tweeting John Sokolov and trying to dunk on people. All the while, Mike Leach is ready to go in there and cram it down his fucking throat. Like,
I did enjoy your tweet. I think it was this morning. Again, time is not an object right now, but you said you're going to just spend some time trying to figure out who you're connecting Lane to next year. And
let me tell you something. Ole Miss fans or anybody, I'm going to have Lane Kiffin going to another job every single year. You know why? Because when Dan Mullen was in Starkville for 9 years, that's what they did to us. He's going to Miami. He's going here. He's going here. He finally left, but he made it 9 years. Lane could barely last three around you douchebags. Dan Mullen spent half a childhood in Starkville. Lane Kiffin can't make the preschool in Oxford with you assholes. So I'm going to do this every year because he doesn't want to be there.
You tweeted that he would potentially you would link him to A&M, and Billy Lucci said it perfectly. Like, there's nobody that does it better than you because you riled up three different fan bases in the same division, not even just the same conference. You've got everybody up in arms, and they're all in the SEC West. It is a talent that not many have, Brandon. I must give that to you.
Jack, this is a great tweet you just tweeted. We're going to look back at Michael Penix, by the way, Washington now 35-27, the Apple Cup. We're going to look back at Michael Penix this year and be like, God damn, like, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And nobody's really talked about him. Bo Nix got the shine. Everybody else got the shine. Michael Penix has been incredible this year. All right.
Speaking of Oregon.
No. They're in the bad.
Speaking of Oregon.
It's the good time. All right. Are y'all ready for the good? Number one, Mississippi State wins the Egg Bowl. I don't want to be selfish, but that shit felt so good.
And can I applaud you? I applaud you a lot. You know, we are we're podcast co-hosts here. That's what we do. We lift each other up. You were so mature on that stream. I have to say it was a masterclass. You know, as last year it was a lot more heated. There was a lot more people, but just, you know, me, you and Mincy spending Thanksgiving night together. And I was very proud of how mature you were.
Let me tell you, this is the absolute truth. Maybe it's breaking kayfabe. Last year, I let my hatred and my anger at Ole Miss manifest itself by being just way too mean to Mintz in the moment. I was just an asshole, complete asshole. Ben Mintz is a genuinely good person, a genuinely good human being. I'm serious. Like
I know
he's a good-hearted guy. And I was like, I do not want a repeat of last year. So even if we would have lost, I was making sure I was taking care of myself to not cross a line that shouldn't have been crossed. And then we ended up winning, and I was able to take that calmness that I had put in myself and use it. But anyway, forget Mintz right now, because Ole Miss fans, fuck all y'all, because you just paid $9 million for a coach who isn't very good, and we just figured his ass out, and we're going to do it every fucking year to you. Oh, my God, felt good. All right.
You flip-flopping on Lane Kiffin. I think you're like the fifth time you've flipped this.
I have not flipped at all. I've everything I just said. Flipping,
but you're like great coach, terrible coach, great coach, terrible coach.
That's not what I just said.
You said terrible coach.
Whatever.
I do think.
Does she not get what we do here?
I do. I'm going to call you out. She does. What I do. It's the only time I talk on this, to call people out.
Really, and Katie, you know what? I appreciate that. You can call whoever you out, whoever out you want. Brandon, what
call it, you out?
What?
I did earlier before you got on. I was like, nice boobs.
She yeah, that's really calling her out right there. Yeah, you got that. Her.
Brandon, I will tell you that, you know, I always laugh, especially because the graphic of me, you, and Mintz does look like a very bad porn. It's just like, yeah, the three of us just hanging out. The point of rivalry games is always, it always comes to fruition. And I know it's only been 2 years we've done that stream now, but what you just said and how good it felt is the proof that no matter if anybody else in the country cares about your rivalry game, cares about the Egg Bowl, insert whatever rival game it is, the people that are involved in it, it means everything to you guys.
Well, that's what this game, this weekend's about. Games that don't matter to a lot of people matter intensely to the people in it.
I mean, just the and you know what? The Egg Bowl being the sole college game on Thanksgiving night the last few years, or however many years it has been, it does, I think it's very good for the state of Mississippi, because everyone, I know there's NFL games going on and I get that, but it does really shine a light on how much you guys hate each other.
Man, Michael Penix has, Michael Penix Jr. has 317 yards and they're one drive into the third quarter.
Yeah, four touchdowns, right?
I got three here, unless he ran one in. I got three passing touchdowns.
Anyway, he had a receiving touchdown, too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the receiving. Yeah.
Washington State's uniforms are sick tonight, by the way.
All right, here's the good list. Shout out to, not to kiss everybody's ass on this show, but Texas A&M. And listen, I'm going to be honest here. Last week was a tipping point where they played UMass and nobody was in the stands and it was ugly. They had a full stands tonight. Their best case scenario was what, finishing 5-7, and it was full, 100,000 people, maybe not 100,000, but it was pretty dang full. And they were loud, they were energetic, and A&M sticks it to LSU absolutely when they had to have it, because Texas A&M might be the most important place in America over the next 30 days that isn't playing for a championship. Because how many of those prize recruits stay in College Station might determine not only Jimbo's future, but some futures across the country as people try to absolutely poach them. They had to have at least something to say, all right, you guys come back. You see what we did with these freshmen tonight. Come back. And they beat LSU.
Yeah, it was a major, and you know, the cliche heat check type of game for if those guys were going to play. And listen, as much as I shit on the way Kyle Field looked last week, and boy, Aggie fans were mad at me saying, oh, it was the weather. And it's like, all right, whatever. It's 40 degrees. Get over it. The way that Kyle Field looked tonight, I mean, it wasn't full, full is 105. I think they said there was 95,000 people there. Still pretty good. But the way that A&M played told me a couple things. One, these younger guys, you know, it's kind of like, you know, turning midnight, the pumpkin turned. They're getting older. Connor Wigman is the quarterback of the future. I don't know what that ceiling looks like. But the biggest thing for me was it's so hard to, it's great to celebrate that win. It's a huge win because not only did they get the momentum that they needed to hopefully keep some guys, they also spoiled LSU's chances, which were slim because I don't think they're going to beat Georgia, but spoiled LSU's chances to get in the playoff. But it's also so frustrating because the team that played tonight, if they would have played like that, I don't know, a couple more games, even if it was 7-5, 8-4, whatever, this is a completely different conversation we're having with a bunch of 18-year-olds. But instead, now the season's over, and yeah, you end on a high note, but they're not even going to get to play in a bowl game. So it's frustrating because you sit back and you're like, well, where the fuck was that team all year? But then also you have to be excited because it's like, okay, well, maybe A&M can get an offensive coordinator in. Maybe some guys will come in through the transfer portal. Katie's not happy that I just said that because
I haven't happy.
Yeah, Katie's heard some things. But yeah, I mean, it was obviously an incredible win and Kyle Field looked great.
Here's a harsh truth that I believe might be true. And I don't know if any SEC fans are going to like what I say. It's possible the SEC West just isn't very good. And this is putting aside A&M because A&M didn't have a good year, but LSU won the West. They lost to Florida State to open the season. They lost to A&M to end the season. They had a bad game against Auburn in between. Like their big wins, they beat Ole Miss and they beat Alabama. And Alabama's only big win is Ole Miss. They barely beat Texas. Ole Miss doesn't have a big win outside the SEC West. The SEC West might have been really mediocre throughout this year. And yeah, LSU wins it, but that doesn't mean they're all that great. And they came out tonight and looked like a team who is in the first year of a head coach and there's still some growth to be had. And there's still this very good season under Brian Kelly, very good season to start off his tenure. But I don't know if the SEC West is very good because there's not a whole lot propping that thing up right now. It's just a bunch of teams that are about the same, like Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas. They're all about the same. There's nothing elite in that conference, in that division right now.
You say that about the entire conference, not just a division outside Georgia?
I don't know that you can say that outside the whole – I don't know if you can say it about the whole conference because while Tennessee lost to South Carolina, they beat the shit out of LSU on the road. And Georgia is Georgia, and Georgia has attained – Well, not besides Georgia. I mean, they're in the conference, though. So they've attained a level of elite until somebody knocks them off. So I really think the SEC West, which has a lot of credibility over the years – kind of sucked this year.
It wasn't great, I will say, and I understand that you play the season to make it to the conference championship and then to hopefully make it to the playoff. I think Alabama, if they play LSU again, they would win. I think Alabama is still the best team in the SEC West. I know that's hard to say because they're not going to be in Atlanta, but that is the way that it feels.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that either.
Alabama losing the games that they had.
Yeah, no, I got that, but I don't know that they were very good either. Like
I'm not saying they were great, but I still think that they're the best team in the SEC West. I mean,
when they ventured outside the conference, they barely beat Texas. Like I just.
But they didn't lose the way that LSU lost to both Tennessee and A&M.
Fair enough, but I mean they didn't look good against A&M either.
No, they didn't. But they also didn't have Bryce Young, so. I don't know. I mean, that's here, neither here nor there because it doesn't matter because they're not going to the SEC championship.
All right, the goods. Tulane beat Cincinnati.
Today's November 27th. What's that behind you, Brandon? Do you have your Christmas tree already up?
Yeah. I do too.
Thanksgiving was yesterday.
It goes up the day after Thanksgiving every year.
A lot of people do that.
Okay. Y'all, Southerners are weird.
Katie.
No, I do.
I have a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old. That fucking tree was going up as soon as Thanksgiving dinner was put away.
I only have an unborn child. I put it as soon as Thanksgiving is over, it's Christmas time. And all of my friends when I was in New England did that the same thing. It was always Friday after Thanksgiving.
I think maybe you just had a sheltered childhood, Katie.
When
do you put it up? Like December 1st?
No, probably once the first few weeks, like it hits December, other people's decorations go up. It's like, okay, it's Christmas time. Let's go get a tree. Single digits December though. I will say,
I think it depends on if you have a real tree versus a fake tree, because obviously real trees die, but Thanksgiving, real. Thanksgiving to Christmas is 1 month, and I feel like you have the whole month to have it. And my Christmas tree is up as soon as I wake up on Fridays.
When do you take it down?
January 1st, January 2nd.
Brandon, I feel like he's going to say February.
No, I take mine down December 26th.
Oh, never mind.
The next I have day. To have mine through New Year's.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways.
The good. Tulane beat Cincy. Tulane had one hell of a season. They beat Kansas State earlier. They go on the road to beat Cincinnati, and they earn a trip to the AAC championship game where they'll play UCF, who also had a huge highlight today with a one-handed catch to win the game against
USF.
Thank you very much. UCF against USF. The battle of some interstate.
Cincinnati had a 32 home game winning streak broken by Tulane.
Yep. So big time season for Tulane. Willie Fritz down there. Surprised that his name doesn't come up for other jobs.
He's old.
He is, but so was Lance Leipold, you know? So
yeah, that's
Willie,
true.
Again, Willie Fritz is a dude that he's just been coaching for 200 years.
Yeah.
Oh, he's been coaching for
and listen, and makes a hell of a brisket.
And his own homemade barbecue sauce, too. You know that man has his own special recipe.
Arizona 38, Arizona State 35. And in a college football media where it's easy to get wrapped up and only talk about teams that make the playoff, Arizona took a gigantic step forward. I feel like Kansas got most of the credit for taking a big step forward this year. Arizona was just as down and just as bad as Kansas. And Jed Fish has circled the wagons there and done a great job. Shout out to the Arizona Wildcats for getting off the mat, winning their rivalry game. Missouri finally wins a close one. They beat Arkansas 29-27. And Arkansas fans just aren't quite ready for that conversation, but they're getting closer. They're getting closer.
You say that. Are they? Or
did y'all watch that game?
I did.
Jack, did you watch Arkansas-Missouri?
Yeah, no, Arkansas didn't care.
They didn't care, but Sam Pittman kicked the shit out of that game. He 250 left. He's got a 6-5 team, and he punts, and he never gets the ball back. It's just unbelievable these coaches still do that. Like, punt. Why are you punting? The ball is the most important thing in football. You can't score if you don't have the ball. If you give it to somebody else, you ain't got it no more. Just keep it, idiots. All right. This is a real good one. I thought that Florida State-Florida game last night was – fantastic.
It was awesome.
Among rivalry games, we had another one tonight, USC Notre Dame. The visual presentation every year of Florida State, the uniform matchup is top five in the country. When those two teams are sharing the field, it is a beautiful, beautiful sight.
And once again proves no matter how little curiosity or care there is outside of that game, the people in the game want to beat the shit out of each other. But I don't know if you're going to bring them up or not, but another rivalry game, and I'm sorry, Katie, that was awesome on Friday, was North Carolina, NC State. That was awesome.
I am going to bring them up. I did want to shout out Florida State though. Mike Norvell, 9-3 this year, 9-3 with a win over LSU, with a win over Florida. Again, not to rub anybody's face in it, Billy Napier kicked the shit out of that game. If you're watching that, Florida State couldn't stop the run. They could not stop the run, and Florida couldn't pass. And in the third quarter, I think Billy Napier called 9 straight passes, went 3 and out 3 times, fell behind 14, never recovered. He absolutely botched that game and lost that game for his kids. But Florida State wins. They go 9-3. Florida State plays eye-pleasing games. They had three – if I just rank games on how fun they were to watch, they might have 3 of the top 10 this year. I remember that LSU game to start the season was incredible. Mm-hmm. Their game against Louisville on a Friday night was incredible. And then this one was awesome, awesome, awesome to watch. Oregon State Beavers knock off Bo Nix and the Oregon Ducks, and they were down a lot. I don't remember the actual score, 31-10, something like that. Yep. They were down 31-10. Big, and they came back. They roared back and won 38-34. That Bo Nix hype was fun for a minute, but Oregon State, again, the Pac-12. I'm telling you why USC is going to be in the playoff and why they deserve to be in the playoff. The Pac-12, Utah, 9-3, something like that. Oregon, 9-3. Oregon State, 9-3. Washington is finishing off a 10-2 run right now. That's a deep conference. That's a very good conference. Here's a guy that needs to get shouted out because he's not going to win the Heisman. Bryce Young today against Auburn, 343 yards passing, three touchdowns, 48 yards on the ground, a touchdown. So he accounted for 391 yards of total offense, four touchdowns. He'll probably never play in an Iron Bowl again. He'll probably be done at Alabama very soon. And he's not going to win the Heisman, and he's not going to win a national title this year. But Bryce Young was incredible.
He was unreal. Caleb Williams won the Heisman, but like he.
You keep saying that, and I don't like it.
I think Caleb Williams won the Heisman tonight.
I don't think he has not won the Heisman. He is.
I think he won the Heisman last week.
He's at the 1 yard.
What happened in the Ohio State Michigan game today, and what happened in the Ohio State Michigan game today was neither guy that could have won it is going to win it.
He's at the 1 yard line. He hasn't won the Heisman yet. He's about to win the Heisman in my mind.
Okay. I think that that's splitting hairs. However,
I don't think it is. I think he would
have to have an abysmal Pac-12 championship game.
But what if he did?
I mean, what are we talking about? Abysmal, less than 100 yards. That's not.
What if he throws three picks loose?
That would be abysmal.
Right. And then
my question is, could Bryce Young sneak back and get it again?
Here's what, if that happened, and I tried to say it earlier, if that happened, the pack comes back, and then you just have to decide whose stats were better. Like, I don't think it's fair that Hendon Hooker was just eliminated from conversation when he lost last week and got hurt. Like, he still had an incredible year.
Well, they lost, but he played pretty horribly against Georgia.
Everybody plays horribly against Georgia.
Well, Hendon Hooker is unbelievable, but I think that his Heisman candidacy took a gigantic hit when they were in Athens.
But I don't think that's – yeah, okay. Hendon Hooker – I mean, Caleb Williams is probably going to win the damn thing, but if he's abysmal next week, it muddies the water entirely, and we're just going to have to look at the whole group and say, well, we got to give somebody. But I think Caleb Williams is going to win it. Just relax because the door ain't closed. The bad list. Is everybody ready for the bad? Anybody got a good to shout out before I go forward?
Rivalry weekend as a whole?
Yeah. First of all, Thursday, Friday. No, not just rivalry weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday football. Friday football is incredible.
It's a sport that if you don't watch, I don't understand what you're doing because it's so much fun. But holiday football too is just fantastic. I mean, Friday felt like Saturday. Today felt like another. We have bonus football all week.
Here's your bad list.
Wait, for the other good ones, what about Penn State finishing 10-2? We called it, but just a certain.
Yeah, no, I think Penn State was one of those when they looked like they didn't belong on the field with Michigan, we kind of threw them away. Ohio State looked like they didn't belong on the field with Michigan either. So Penn State 10-2, they're going to finish between, when it's all said and done, finish between like 8-12, and they're as far as rankings. It's a very good season for them. They're not on the level of Michigan, but you know, not a lot of teams are right now. It's a big step forward, and I think they're also young. So, very good year for Penn State. The bad list. We start.
Oh, boy.
Iowa. We've had a long and checkered past, you and I. But you had the Big Ten West in your hands. You had – all you had to do was beat a team that was headed to 3-9 who already fired their coach, who's looking forward to their new coach. You just had to beat Nebraska, who everybody's done. Everybody's beaten them. Northwestern beat them. And you can't beat Nebraska. 3-8 Nebraska beats Iowa and keeps them from winning the West. And what a shot of momentum it is for Nebraska as they bring in Matt Rhule. And they just – because they don't like each other. Nebraska and Iowa, I don't know if it rises to the level of rivalry, but it's kind of close. And shout out Nebraska Cornhuskers for just shitting all over Iowa's plans.
It could not happen to nicer people.
Does a Ferentz get the axe here?
I don't think they're going to, Brandon, but should he? Yes.
I think Kirk Ferentz should get the axe. I think they just the best thing for them to be was, thank you, coach. Here's your watch. Go retire. Go have grandbabies. Good luck. They've desperately got to change everything about that program. They got to get into 2022.
They got to send, with all due respect, they've got to send him to pasture without actually sending him to pasture.
I know I talked about this team earlier, but I got to circle back to him. LSU, you can't lose to A&M like that. I mean, no. Like, A&M was just playing because it's on the schedule. The A&M has been going through the motions for weeks, and you showed up tonight, and they just stuck it to you. And they, yeah, that was a bad, bad loss for LSU. Is just one of the weirder seasons I've seen. It started off terribly with a loss to Florida State. It ended terribly with a loss to A&M. And in the middle, fuck, we went, what, 10-1 or 10-0, whatever it is. And we're, whatever, 9-1. I don't know. This is officially.
They had no business losing that game. None. I'm
officially tired.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
The next on the bad list. Katie.
Oh, no.
I was right. You were right.
Katie. It was a great game.
North Carolina's players kind of wrote some checks with their mouths. Their asses couldn't cash. And now NC State.
The argument's so dumb. I don't understand. Like, obviously from my side, like, we're objectively a higher academic institution. But, like, yes, everyone applies to both. I'm tired of that point. But, like, that's what you're supposed to do with the rivalry. You talk shit while you can.
Yeah, you talk shit while you can, but you better win the game when it comes up.
Dave Doran talked a lot of shit too in that morning, and he pulled out for him.
And he won. Billy Napier, I already talked about that. That was on the list. Oklahoma finishes 6-6 by losing to Texas Tech.
First time in 10 years.
You can think Brent Venables is the guy all you want. The guy doesn't walk in and go 6-6 with that talent. That talent is too good to go 6-6. Something's wrong. Something's not right. The guy doesn't do that. Look at Lincoln Riley. He went to USC, and he took a mediocre team and immediately has them in playoff ready. And Brent Venables came in and took a loaded team and went 6-6 and lost to Texas Tech. That's garbage. And then I'll tee this one up for our friend Jack Mack. $95 million. $95 million, and Michigan State goes without a bowl. And beautiful. I don't know. We didn't talk about this, but he kept some bonus money meant to go to his assistants.
Yeah. We can talk more about that on Tuesday. That was a very weird situation. That tweet's like our most popular tweet in the history of our account. Got like an insane amount of response. Anyways, Michigan State. The $100,000 bonus aside, just pathetic. Just really, I said it again. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Sickening. On the day that Michigan took control of the rivalry that you made fun that they could never take control of, you lose and end your season 5-7 in your coach's third year. There's no excuses for this. Yeah. Is Mel Tucker on the hottest seat going into next season?
I think Neil Brown will be because he's going to stave off firing this year. But there are, yeah.
We just have to wrap our heads around this, right? We got told for the whole offseason about how great this guy is. Tuck coming this, Tuck coming that. Look at him with his cigar. Da-da-da-da-da. Look at him now. Yeah. 5-7. They don't even have bowl practices, dude.
I love when you put dude on the end. When Jack wants to really punctuate something, dude. All right, we've got. I'll just if anybody has any bad. By the way, the Apple Cup is off the rails right now. It's 35-33. Washington with 2:37 left. The David Shaw era might be ending in Stanford right now. BYU is up 28-12 in the third quarter.
They'll like quietly fire him. Like they
will. I think they'll let him retire. I think that's what they'll end up doing.
Put it on like the fifth page of the New York Times. Like, it's just like a little blurb.
In the ACC, NC State 30, North Carolina 27 in two overtimes, Florida State 45, Florida 38 on Friday night, South Carolina 31, Clemson 30 today. Georgia, not great, but they win 37-14 over Georgia Tech. Kentucky handles Louisville 26-13. Duke 34-31. Mike Elko goes, what do they go, 8-4, 7-5?
7 or 8, which is I hate to say it, but it's great hire. Looks great.
Riley Leonard is probably one of the he could be up there in the because award.
It might be because week. I might have to bring that out on Tuesday. Syracuse 32, Boston College 23. Syracuse salvages a little bit towards the end of the season, and Pitt 42, the absolute stinking shell that was Miami 16. Gross. TCU 62, Iowa State 14 in the Big 12. Texas on Friday 38, Baylor 27, West Virginia 24, Oklahoma State 19. You want to talk about limping to the finish? Oklahoma State absolutely limped to the second half finish. In overtime, Texas Tech 51, Oklahoma 48, Kansas State 47-27. They will play TCU for the Big 12 championship next week. In the Big 10, Nebraska 24, Iowa 17 on Friday. Michigan 45, Ohio State 23, 37-0. Maryland beats Rutgers to finish 7-5. Purdue wins the Big Ten West. They'll play Michigan for the Big Ten Championship, 30-16 over Indiana. Minnesota wins the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe, 23-16 over Wisconsin. Illinois 41, Northwestern 3, and Penn State just beats the hell out of Michigan State.
Northwestern went the entire season without winning on U.S. soil.
Mm. Gross.
Yep. Oregon State 38, Oregon 34 in the Pac-12. I've already told you the current scores, but they'll be final by the time you hear this anyway. UCLA 35, Cal 28, Arizona 38, Arizona State 35, 63-21, Utah wins over Colorado, and then you've got the 38-27 win for USC over Notre Dame. I'm fine. Limping to the finish is exactly what I'm doing right now. In the SEC on Thursday night, the good guys finally beat Lane Kiffin 24-22. Mississippi State wins the Egg Bowl as they have most years since integration. 24-22 over Ole Miss. Missouri 29, Arkansas 27. Florida State 45, Florida 38. South Carolina 31, Clemson 30. Georgia Tech, I've already said. Kentucky, Louisville, I've already said. Alabama 49-27 over Auburn, Texas A&M 38, LSU 23, and then Tennessee behind Joe Milton 56, Vanderbilt, who was building momentum, nothing.
Remember when everyone poo-pooed and almost yelled at Casey when she picked Tennessee minus 14?
Katie thinks calling you out is just saying the good things that you do.
Oh, no, Katie's called me out when I've been wrong, but it was
had a very good week for takes. I'm going to let her make sure she gets them off.
Thank you, Katie. I appreciate that. I did have a very good week of takes.
Well, guess what? You lead us off on the takes. Casey Smith, who won the week?
Well, very clearly, it's the Michigan Wolverines, Brandon. They won the week. In fact, I think that they would take thus far the biggest win of the week for me, because when you look at what happened last year, and this is just ad nauseum at this point. We know when you look at what happened last year, and Ohio State fans were just, it was a one-off. It was in the Big House. It was this, it was that. We're going to get back to it. The fact that Michigan not only beat Ohio State, not only kicked the shit out of Ohio State, they beat Ohio State playing a lot of their own game today. And without Blake Corum, without everything that they said that they needed in order to beat Ohio State, Michigan won the week. And I think that when you look back at the 2022 season, that regardless of what happens in the playoff, obviously if they get killed again by whoever they play, it's going to take a little bit of a hit. But Michigan, from start to finish, took a lot of shit all season from all different networks, all different analysts, all different podcasts. And Michigan, everything they did, every step of the way, wasn't enough. Their non-conference schedule wasn't good enough. They didn't have a good quarterback. They put that all to rest. Some of those things may be true. Their non-conference schedule was shit. It doesn't matter. They're going to the playoff regardless. They absolutely won the week. No question.
Katie Stats, who won the week?
I would agree with Michigan, but also throwing J.J. McCarthy in there. I feel like everyone was like, they don't throw, they can't throw. Even I was like, they have this terrible pass offense. He heard everyone talking shit and showed up.
Jack Mack, who won the week?
Lincoln Riley and USC. Obviously, Caleb Williams is in there too.
Brandon, who won the week?
I agree with Jack. It's obvious that Michigan won the week, and I've sucked their dick enough on this show. But as big as their win was, USC is one win from the playoff, and they're about to win the Heisman. If you're jump-starting a program, and you're building, you cannot do better than Lincoln Riley has done in his first year. He has a chance to do everything they haven't been able to do in a decade and a half and be right back on the map in college football. USC is right there to win the week. Michigan, too, of course, but USC. And small honorable mention, the Mississippi State Bulldogs for beating those morally bankrupt pieces of shit and doing it in their house and having them throw chairs at our players and having them throw trash at our players. Oh, but Jack just walked off. But remember last year when Lane Kiffin got a battery thrown at him in Knoxville and Ole Miss fans got all a flutter and everything? Well,
it was a golf ball.
They were – whatever. Yeah, it was a golf ball.
Mustard bottles.
Now we saw their true colors.
Wait, you said that if you want to jumpstart a program, first-year coach Lincoln Riley is the best one. Wasn't there an argument for Sonny Dykes? Obviously.
No. I mean, yeah, there is. Obviously, he's right there with him. I would have to expand that to include Sonny Dykes. What's your name? Blonde girl. Who won the week? Who lost the weekend?
I was about to say, did we not?
Hey, folks, you know the drill. We're at this point, we're
all delusional.
We're trying to finish it off. Casey Smith, who lost the week?
The obvious answer will be Ohio State, but I'll go a different way because I think that's too chalky, especially if I had Michigan winning the weekend.
Who's going to take mine?
Do what?
Who's going to take mine? Go ahead.
I was going to say that Clemson lost the week.
You're such a bitch.
Is that really yours?
Yeah, because you're supposed to say Ohio State because I wrote down Clemson. Okay.
I'll give you Clemson because I can go a different way too. How about I will give a bigger picture than just this. I'm going to give all the teams that were on the bubble that could have won a spot in the college football playoff lost the week today, because going into today and even this morning, there was, oh my God, there's chaos. All the arguments all season have been so much fun of who are we going to put in those four spots. We've used it as arguments for why the playoffs should be expanded, because it's like, look at all these teams that we could potentially see in those top four spots, but there's only four. And in reality, despite something crazy happening next week, which, you know, is not off the table, but it seems like the selection for the top four is going to be a lot more anticlimactic than we anticipated it to be. And even after the Ohio State Michigan game today, it was like, all right, let's see, because we've still got Clemson on the table. We've still got LSU on the table. And you go down the list and those teams lost it. And now the conversation is pretty straightforward, which is great because there's parity outside of Georgia, but there's not the chaos we were hoping for.
Katie Stats, who lost the weekend?
This is more of a off the beaten path one, but there's a quote from Kevin Warren that said that without a doubt, Ohio State deserves to be in the playoffs, as you said, after the game. I get he's a Big Ten commissioner. I get he's supposed to push it. You cannot have those words come out of your mouth and genuinely believe that. I know, like Brent, we talked about earlier, there's a whole path potentially. Ohio State does not belong in the playoffs right now after that.
Y'all can say that. If USC or TCU loses, I think they're getting in.
Even if they could, would you put them there?
You have to, because
they got their dicks kicked in.
Who cares? You're taking a trash team next week. If USC or TCU loses, you've got to hold your nose and pick somebody that probably doesn't deserve it.
I think if TCU loses, I would still put TCU in for losing in the conference championship, depending on how they lose. But unless they get destroyed by Kansas State, if they lose to Kansas State in the conference title, I would put them in over what Ohio State did. They can't even win their own division.
Now, this is a question we should talk about on Tuesday.
Okay.
But does this discredit the expanded playoff? You just said they'd have to.
I think it credits it. I think people act like it's a bad thing. I'd love to see Alabama get another shot at somebody in a 12-team format. I don't know if they should get into four. If it's four, they don't deserve it. But in 12, yeah. If you're going to win a national title, yeah, go through Alabama. Go through Ohio State again. I have no problem. I think 12 is much more exciting because you do get – would it be so bad if 11-1 Ohio State got a shot and had to win three straight games to get back to Michigan again? Would that be so bad?
No. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would. And
this is a great conversation for Tuesday or Thursday or whatever we decide. But that's why I hate so much when, and people clip this very podcast out, and they probably will clip this segment on and be like, see, this is why the expansion is stupid, because you're trying to fit a bunch of teams into four spots. That is a completely different argument than if you have 12, let them play it out. If you have four spots, you've got to try to figure out who the top four teams are. If you have 12, you give these teams a shot to get revenge, to get redemption, and then they play it out. Why would we not want to see that?
It's a great point. We focus so much on who are the most deserving, who are the most deserving, who are the most deserving. In a 12-team playoff, they're going to show you who the most deserving.
Exactly.
They're going to show you who deserves to win the national title.
And every
you don't have to speculate.
Exactly. And every time we say, oh, thank God Clemson lost, or oh, thank God whoever lost, there's some asshole out there that's like, well, see, you're just proving the point that if they had to play in the playoff, then whatever. And it's like, well, no, because they actually would get to prove that they deserve to be in the national title if they can beat multiple teams. Right now, we have four teams. We don't even have only four power five or power conferences. We have five. So at least let them play it out. I would love to see Alabama back in it. I would love to see if Clemson fans want to think that they can beat somebody in the Big Ten, let them play. They can't do it in four. They can do it in 12.
Jack McGuire, who lost the week?
Oklahoma.
Oh, nice. Why?
Go off, King.
I put it in on Twitter too. I put up on our Instagram, like, 6-6, while Tebow, the bitch out west, is 11-1, one win away from the playoff Heisman at the 1 yard line. And you lose with a top 10 talented roster to Texas Tech to cap off your 6-6 season. After all, and this would be one thing if they're like, yeah, we lost Lincoln Riley, that stinks, and Brent Venables is here, and we're going to back him. No, that's not what they said at all. That's revisionist history if anyone ever says that. What Oklahoma fans did this offseason talking about, now we're better, or we're just in the same spot. Awful season. Like, I don't even know what bowl they're playing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, a bad one.
They may end up playing UConn in a bowl again.
Spoiler, there's more to come on that subject.
On what all subject? Right.
She's got a shit list. Said. Okay, so.
Oh, Brandon, who lost the weekend?
It's the Clemson Tigers.
Sorry, I tried to steal it from you.
And I'll circle back to Ohio State in the shit list, because they obviously lost the weekend too, but it's the Clemson Tigers. They were able to phony their way through a lot of this season. They were able to start out like 7-0, and then it didn't feel right. Notre Dame knocked them down a peg, but then people started falling around them, and all of a sudden they're right back in the playoff mix. Like, oh, God, I don't want that to happen. But not only today did they get exposed for not being elite, not being playoff worthy, not being top 10 worthy, they lost their grip on their state. When you lose your grip on your state, you lose a lot. Like, Shane Beamer is 8-4. Shane Beamer's got excitement over South Carolina. Clemson's old news, old hat. Clemson is in a bad conference and has been able to rule the roost for a while and been able to be elite off of that. Now they've lost that. And if you lose that, Tennessee lost in 1998. It took them 24 years to get close to having it again. If you lose that and you're not a traditional power, it's hard to get it back. Nebraska lost it 2 decades ago. They still can't get it back. Clemson is not in a traditionally power-rich state. They've been able to do these things for a decade now, and it's been an incredible run, but they're not elite anymore. There's nothing elite about them. Their place, their time at the top of college football is over. I said it earlier, said it again. That's done. Shit list, Casey Smith.
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. Jack, to go off of what you did in the Who Lost the Weekend, my shit list would be the lovely people of Oklahoma Twitter, because, you know, we have a back and forth. We've had a back and forth this offseason. I was on Oklahoma podcast because Oklahoma fans were so very mad at me for saying what I am about to say again. You cry baby bitches, because I was going back and looking at tweets. I take a page right out of the Dan Katz playbook. I love doing it. It sucks when you're wrong because you have to hear from everybody else, but when you're right, chef's kiss. And I went back and looked for the sake of looking for my Michigan take in the who I put in the playoff in August 25th, I believe was the date. And there were so many people in my mentions in anywhere they could possibly talk shit because I had USC in my Final Four. And guess what? Every single one of them calling me names, saying mean things, telling me I'm a moron, all either had the OU logo as their profile photo, Boomer Sooner in their bio, or their name was just straight up, I am in love with Oklahoma. It is insane, this fan base, because they were doing it back then, and now they're sitting at home watching Lincoln Riley most likely go to the playoff, and all they wanted to do was call everybody crazy. Oh, how could USC win enough to go to the college football playoff? Did you see how bad they were? Have you watched football ever in your life? This is what you get fucking paid for. Are you crazy? Fire this woman. And guess what, Oklahoma fans? You're sitting exactly where I said you were going to be sitting, wishing that Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley sucked. And anybody who tried to tell me and anybody else who liked USC that they didn't care what was happening in California, they only were worried about what's happening in Norman, you're a liar. Because all those same fans are melting down right now. They don't know what to do with themselves because their season was horrible. And the guy that they said, oh, we'll be better off with is riding right into those college football playoffs, baby. I told you, Brandon told you, and you guys cried. And look who's still standing. It's not you, folks. So you can bring up A&M, you can bring up anything else, but I'm going to sit here and I'm going to mark down all those receipts because all of you are fucking wrong.
Oh, that was passionate.
Katie's Oklahoma stats. Fans, they bring it out in you. They were mean people. They were like Gabe Eichardt, who's Alex Bennett's good friend, who I was on the podcast with. He told me the only 1-star reviews they've ever gotten from their podcast is when I went on there. Like, don't give this woman any more shine. Like, she just wants to take us down. We'll be fine without her. I'm still sitting here, still saying the same shit I was saying in August and July. So.
Katie Stack. What up?
Two words. College kickers.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yep, I can see where that would be a problem for you right now. Jack McGuire.
Everybody who, like, sucks off Rutgers, yet another disappointing season. Just because Tony Soprano wore, like, a Rutgers polo once or twice, and – it's like cool to cheer for the, for Jersey or something. I don't know. It's weird. Weird obsession with Rutgers. And now it's like, oh, it's so good when Rutgers is good. Is it? Who's their best player in the history of the school? Ray Rice? Like, oh, great guy. They ended their season today with a 37-0 loss. Rutgers has been an awful decision for the Big Ten. And they should get more shit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Brandon, who is on your shit list this week?
Ryan Day was born on third base. That's the truth. It's a favorite saying of Dave Portnoy, and it's absolutely true. He was handed a ready-made national title contending program, and he has kept the car in the middle of the road for the most part. But that's when there weren't other cars that could keep up with him. And Jim Harbaugh, meanwhile, was in the garage building his car. And it took him a while, but once he got it road ready, that thing came out roaring. And it roared right past Ohio State. And last year, when they beat Ohio State, fine. You can't beat them every single year. It is a rivalry. You lose to them up there. You get beat. Fine. You're still great. For the next 364 days, let this feed you. Let this fuel you. Show up in Columbus and set the rivalry right and show them that you're not who you were that day. Instead, you took that 364 days, showed up on the 365th and said, actually, we're exactly who you thought we were. We're just a bunch of pussies, and we haven't fixed any of our problems, and you're going to run right through us like shit through a tin horn, like Nick Saban said. That's what Michigan did. They went into the locker room today down 20-17. Michigan came out of that locker room a house of fire and looked like they were – if you took off their helmets, they had fangs and like horns sticking out. Like they were just animals out there. They were just destroying everything in their path. And Ohio State was just trying to get to the end where they have a shot to win. 4th and 2, I'll punt it. 4th and 3, I'll punt it. CJ Stroud, 8 yards slant, 6 yards slant. Nothing about Ohio State seemed urgent. Nothing about Ohio State seemed passionate. Ryan Day has more talent than anybody in the country, and he's gotten out coached twice on the biggest stage. That's how you get unemployed at Ohio State. Show up to Michigan and look like you don't give a shit and look like you can't hang with Jim Harbaugh. He's 11-1. It's crazy to say he's on the hot seat, but guess what? His ass is on the hot seat. That's my shit list, Ryan Day.
It's a good one.
All right. That was fun. We have Tuesday reaction coming up. I don't know what our week looks like at all. I think we're recording the college football show Monday or something. Y'all don't need to know that. Anyway.
I will say that they do need to know that because I think it'll be of epic proportions because one Dave Portnoy will be in person.
Yes, David Portnoy will be joining us. All right, Katie, thank you for staying up. Jack, thank you for staying up. Noah, as always, thank you for your hard work. Casey, anything else?
It was a hell of a day, folks. Hell of a week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Subscribe. Do all those things.
Cowbell is coming. Oh no.
Oh no. Won't wake your kids up.
Hail State. That's unnecessary reference.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.